Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP to get $15 off your first month of treatment. That's GetRoman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by ProSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And finally, we're also brought to you by the SGPN app. That's right, we've got an app now, and the app gives you easy access to all of our picks, podcasts, and the exclusive place to enter in all of our contests. That includes the $1,000 NBA Finals free roll. Just enter SGPN in the App Store or the Google Play Store and download that baby today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. And thank you for coming to the podcast, the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, back in your eardrums. This would be episode 46. Normally it's dedicated to someone, but there really is not very many good 46s that I could find. I'm going to break my rule and let my associate co-host talk before he's introduced. Maybe he has a number 46 for us. Co-host, do you have a number 46 for us?
So I'm trying to think, because the only one who I can think of that used to wear 46, because I'm usually the baseball guy, the only one I can think of is Lee Smith, but he was like a relief pitcher, and that's so random. I feel like there's got to be better ones than that.
I guess like Andy Pettit maybe, but whatever. Like,
yeah,
he's all right.
Yeah, I guess he's at least the one who admitted he cheated. That's kind of nice.
All right.
I'm being told right now that Tony Gonsolin also wears it. I don't know if you know Tony Gonsolin.
I do know the name.
He's the weird cat guy on the Dodgers.
Yes, like, he is on my fantasy team now, everybody.
Yeah, he's really into cats. Cats.
He kind of looks like a cat, too. So it makes sense. All right, Tony Gonsolin, this one is for you. Co-host, shut up. You haven't been introduced yet. How dare you speak? This is not your time to talk. All right, Tony Gonsolin. Hopefully this episode will be a stellar one, because our picks last night actually were stellar. So this shall be a good episode. I would be Jeff Fox, your host. Thank you for coming, like I said, once again. And if you have not already, please make sure you subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast feed on whatever podcast catcher device thingamajig you use, and if you want to give us a rating and review, that helps too. Helps us get more eardrums, more degenerates into our flock here. And if you are listening to us on the SGPN main feed, if you could try to find our specific MMA gambling podcast only feed and subscribe to that, that would help, because we're eventually going to be off the SGPN feed and on the other one. Still part of the SGPN family, just on our own feed. So like I said, thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and reading all the stuff that I and the rest of our writers write there. And if you go to my MMA site, MMA-manifesto.com, thank you for going there also. We always have lots of good stuff on there. It's pretty much updated daily. So if you need a daily dose of MMA stuff, make sure you go on there. I will officially let my associate host, talk now, because I don't really have too much else to say. I don't even have a number 46 for you, so I'm not much use. And he was one pick better than me last night, too, so he's going to have some gloating to do here. We both did very well. I basically tailed him on all his picks except one, and, of course, the one I picked on my the one I went opposite of him, it was the most gruesome win of the night. So we'll get into that in a second. This man is the king of the Go-Go Plata, as he tells us on air and off air. He says he would just his strength and technique, Paul Craig would not be able to do any kind of arm lock on him. He said if Paul Craig tried to do some kind of arm bar on him, he would turn it into a Go-Go Plata and rip. He said he would rip his arm right out of the socket and blood would be gushing out of the his shoulder joint, I think is what you said, Dan. You would rip his arm out from the shoulder, I think he said. And then you said you would beat Paul Craig up with it, and the ref still would notice that his arm was ripped out, because it would be the same ref as last night, and he would just be watching you beat him up and wondering if he should stop the fight. That's what Dan says off the air. On the air, he tries to be a nice guy, but that's the type of guy he is off the air. So, yeah, King of Go-Go Plata. They call him Gumby. We call him Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and now we will say hello to him. Hello, Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
So I've been disparaging to a lot of jiu-jitsu in the UFC. Yeah. I think a lot of guys have subpar jiu-jitsu and should be better at it. The one you usually poke fun at me as, Bartrov Spavinsky, I pointed out that he is very susceptible to guillotines, and then he got guillotined. I've been disparaging of his grappling. I've never once said an ill word about Paul Craig, and after winning me money at plus 220 last night, I will never say an ill word about Paul Craig.
Yes, we killed it with the underdogs last night, especially Mr. Vreeland, especially with Paul Craig. I agreed on air episode 45 that I didn't like the number for that fight. Jamal Hill was minus 300, Paul Craig plus 230. I thought that was far too lopsided, and it proved right. Dan made a killing, and he sent me a photo of Tony Gosselin wearing a shirt that says Taco Cat on it. It says Taco Cat spelled backward is Taco Cat. So, yes.
You'd enjoy that.
Yeah, this episode should be dedicated to him. He deserves it after that. That's for dang sure. So, yeah, interesting night of fights. Another decision heavy night of fights, but it wasn't super boring. We had some exciting fights, but we're talking what there was three finishes out of 14 fights. Yeah, but maybe before, I was going to say, is this just the new way the sport's headed, because everyone's trained in everything nowadays, so maybe that's just the way we're going to get it going. We're not going to have huge mismatches in the future, and we're going to have a whole bunch of decisions. But before we get into that, let me tell you about WinBet. I was thinking we should just do our ads like they do in the UFC, when just like out of the blue they'll say Modelo right in the middle of the fight.
P3 is the official protein pack of the octagon.
right in the middle of the fight, and just with no context whatsoever. That would be a nice way to do the podcast, but our ads are a little longer than that. So let me tell you about WinBet. WinBet is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Win Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Jonas promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WinBet. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. I feel like I'm doing a subpar performance here. I got to pick it up for Taco Cat here. I'm not doing Taco Cat proud. So, yeah, what are you thinking about before we get in the card? has it been more decision heavy over the past few weeks, or are we just noticing it now, or what do you think? Or should we save this for one of our off weeks and go real in depth on it?
No, I think it's probably something that we can't answer on the micro, right? Like you're right. We have seen more lately. And sometimes that's just the matchups, right? Like we got heavyweights this week, which we'll eventually get to, but like, they were heavyweights with not tons of finishing power. So, like, sometimes that happens. And, you know, Brad Riddell and Drew Dober are two guys who slug in, like, knockouts. But they're also very defensively sound. So, like, it could be just a little bit matchup-based. But I would also add that this broke the record for the most decisions on a single UFC card. 11,
oh, yeah? Okay.
11 is the new record. Previously, like, four different cards had 10, and also it was the longest event in terms of fight time ever, too, with over 3 hours of fight time in the case. So, yeah, it was a long one, and it certainly felt that way, too.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't feel that way, but I'm weirdo, and I tend to watch nothing live. I always have at least a few minutes drag time going on things I watch, so I skip through a lot of dead time. So maybe that's why it didn't feel so bad.
Well,
so I'm off doing other things in between, maybe.
I'll say this, too. Like, the first two or three fights, when they went to the judges' scorecards, Bruce Buffer, like, was – I don't know if it was him or was the judges getting the card to him or what. Like, there was, like – 5 or 6 minutes of just like dead space while the guys like wandered around the cage waiting for them to say, oh, okay, well, we have the judges' scorecards now. And like, they just didn't have them. Like maybe they couldn't find the judge or whatever, or the judge was taking time making up his mind. But like, there was some large gaps in there.
Yep. And speaking of doing things, in the dead times, I changed my Twitter picture to the Taco Cat picture as you're speaking there. So, yeah, I guess that's called. I'm having a real hard time talking here. What's that called, Dan, when you do more than one thing at once? That's called
multitasking.
Multitasking, that's what it is. Anything with more than one syllable, I think I'm going to struggle on this episode. So lucky the associate co-host is here to lift me up. All right, let's get started on this card. The card we are dancing around speaking of is, of course, UFC 263, Adesanya versus Vittori 2. It went down in the – did they say Gila? I didn't notice how they pronounce it.
I think it's the Gila Arena, yeah.
Okay, we were right,
which
Gila.
You were right. I just chose not to say anything.
Gila should have two L's, though, if you ask me. This has one L. It should be Gila, but whatever. Gila. Attendance, 17,208, about – 8 of them had masks on, I think. And they were people at work for the, I think, for the Athletic Commission, probably because they were told they had to wear masks. I think that was it. So I assume the rest of them were vaccinated or the pandemic's over in the States. It's not up here in Canada, but is it over in the States, Dan?
I'm going to say no.
In Arizona, maybe it is?
Arizona probably never had one, according
to... That's true. All right. So anyhow... Packed house. They broke the record for the gate there are two, I believe I saw. It was $4,200. People are dying to spend their money that they've been having to sit at home with. So people's mattresses in their bedrooms must be like overflowing with money because that's where everyone keeps their money, right? Under their mattress?
Of course.
That's the way it works, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
So I just want to make sure that works the way in the States too. So, yes. And as Dan said, yes, it did break the record for most decisions on a card with 11, and it did break the record for the longest amount of fight time. It was 3 hours and 19 minutes of fight time, but how long was the actual show? It started at, what, 6?
Yeah, and it wasn't over until, like, 1 a.m.
Yeah, that's – I don't get why they think they have to make it so long always. Like, no other sport does that. Like,
well,
you get, like,
I think the thing is
– Even baseball doesn't.
It feels like it's long to us because we're degens and we watch every single fight. And
yeah.
We're betting on every single fight and that kind of feeling. Yeah. But, like, the average fan, the person who doesn't want 5 hours of MMA, seven hours? Was it seven hours? Seven hours of MMA this week.
That's where they tend to be, though, when they're this many fights, yeah.
Yeah, and when they're pay-per-view, too, because they space them out and they make them later and stuff like that. But – so we're going to watch no matter what. They know we're going to watch no matter what.
Yeah,
and they're just catering to the fan who's going to watch two or three fights only at the end of the night. And you know, the West Coast times because they're in Vegas and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'm veering into Old Man Yells at Cloud territory here too, so we probably should just get into the card. I should be upbeat because let's start with that. We killed it, so hopefully all y'all out there tagged along with our picks because I went 9-5, Dan went 10-4. Dan made $580 because he bet $100 in every fight. That's American money too, isn't it? So that's even more up here, Dan. That's like another 20%. That's like another $160 up here. Fantastic. I made $250, which is fine. I'll take my $250. The bad news, I whiffed on my lock, which is not good. It was the Beast in Figueiredo. I don't mind though. I've always liked Brandon Moreno, so I don't mind really whiffing on that one, but I'm kind of starting to struggle with my locks after like being perfect for so long. I'm 9-4 now on my locks. I'm still up $132 about 10%. Dan did not whiff. Dan doesn't miss. He nailed his lock, which was your lock was
Steven Peterson. Yeah.
Steven Peterson. So down now Dan's at 6-7. He's down $300. So overall, as I echo in my ears here. Do I sound okay to you, Dan? I sound all echoey to me.
No, you sound fine here.
All right, cool. I sound as good as I'm going to sound. All right. Overall, for the year, I'm 123.99, 55%. Dan is close on my heels, 119 and 103, 54%. So you are right there. Actually, we're doing all right, right around the mid-50s. I'd like to be in the 60s, but I think that's just a pipe dream possibly because, like I said, when I've seen other – quote-unquote experts pick like every baseball game or every basketball game or whatever, they, you know, they're right. They're happy if they're above 500. So we shall be happy. Dan is up like $1,000 on me now, though, which is rough. And in Canada, that's like $1,200. So that's even rougher. So, all right. So like I said, I hope you guys tagged along with at least some of our picks. The night started off rough. We lost our first two, and then I went on a what? 7 fights in a row, and you did 8 in a row, I think, correct?
Yeah.
Including dogs. Dan had 4 dogs in there. I had 3, so that was fantastic. And then we kind of whiffed on the main card. I was like 3-5 in the main card, which isn't so hot. You were 3-2. So anyhow, we always claim that we're better on prelims, and I guess we kind of were last night. So all right, now I'm actually going to finally know. Should I talk about the card now? No, let's talk about Roman. Look, no one's perfect. We were close last weekend, but no, we weren't perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes 3-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to getroman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet, so getting started is simple. The part I always messed up, I did it again. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. That's American money, too. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/SGP. Get started now and save $15 in your first month of treatment. And before you know it, you will be hitting go-go Pilates again. Correct? Correct. Okay. I would drag out the introduction to you. Now I'm dragging out breaking down the fight card. But all right, fine. Let's break down the fight card. We were kind of negative about how long the stuff was, but it was memorable, to say the least. Main event went in the way, I guess we pretty much predicted it. I think we both had Adesanya winning. I think we both kind of figured it was going to be a decision. I don't think came right out and said it, though, did we?
No, I thought he had a possibility to finish him. But
yeah,
went like, I mean, like mostly how we thought it was going to go.
Yeah. So angry Marvin. He doesn't get, he's angry pretty much until he's in the cage. Then he's kind of like, he's not a knockout guy. You would think a super angry guy like him would be like trying to take people's heads off, but that's really not his style.
No, he wants to be a mauler. I think. I think deep down, Marvin Vettori thinks he's Khabib. I think he thinks he fights like Khabib. Because he looked like that against Kevin Holland, did he not? Like,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, I guess if you feel like you fight that way, that's cool. But the counters and reversals from Israel Adesanya on the mat in this fight were to me the most impressive thing, right? We knew he was going to piece him up on the feet. We knew he might stuff the majority of takedowns. We knew he might. Well, we didn't know he might grab his ass, but he did that too.
That was good. It's kind of predictable. Him goosing someone's not really out of character.
I mean, it's more mild than what he did to Paulo Costa, I guess.
Yes, that's true. Yes. We can't say that. Mothers listening to this, we can't tell you what he did to Paulo Costa.
Yeah, no, that's not acceptable. But so a lot of it was predictable, but I didn't think on the few times that Vettori got him down, he would just hip over and bump sweep him until he was in top position. And that's exactly what he did in some of those positions. And it was just an incredible, a huge pat on the back to Israel Adesanya for what he can do on the ground. Because that's what we say all the time about strikers in MMA, right? Well, they're great, but they just have to run into the guy who can get him on the ground and beat him up there. And people who were picking Vettori in this fight were saying that he could do what Jan Blachowicz did. And now we know that, that was probably size more than anything, and the fact that Blachowicz did some damage on the feet, too. But, once it got to the ground, I actually don't think Vettori was better than Adesanya there.
No. Going back to Blachowicz, he's got way more power striking, obviously. Mm-hmm. Vettori, like I said, Vittori's one of those guys who I think of as a knockout guy. There's another guy, too, I can't think of right now. But then you look at the record and you're like, oh, he has two knockouts. That's right. He's not a knockout guy at all. Blachowicz is way stronger on the feet, and he's obviously way bigger, too. But, Izzy's ground game, stuffing the takedowns, too, was fantastic. Nailing him with elbows as he was trying to take him down. And then, obviously, my favorite thing that happens on every pay-per-view, when Joe Rogan says that a submission is underneath the neck, Izzy immediately somehow swept and got, mount. Or maybe, did he get mount? No, maybe it wasn't mount, but he swept and got on top right after Rogan said, it's under his neck, it's or under his chin. It's anytime Rogan says it. A submission is sunk in, then you know the guy's going to pop out at any second. So
he wasn't even close to that submission.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So, but Adesanya is it's got to be scary for the rest of the middleweight division. Seeing the way he fought last night, just obviously his striking was on point. He was this basically was the top challenger at this moment. You know, time and place and all that type of thing. Robert Whittaker is really the top contender, but this was a top available contender, we'll say, and he just basically clowned on him for the full 25 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I think what you said hit the nail on the head. Robert Whittaker is the only guy I could see right now in that middleweight division giving Izzy any kind of trouble. It's almost a shame that he went up and fought Jan and kind of took some of the luster off of what he is, because if he was just tearing through all of these middleweights right now, if he goes out and beats the hell out of Whittaker again, what is left? Brunson again? He could beat Brunson again. He could beat Costa again. He could beat Gastelum again. We're running out of people he could beat the hell out of again.
Yeah, it's true. He's going to clean up the division pretty damn quick.
It's also one of those divisions that doesn't have that young up and comer that you have really good feeling about, right? Who's the?
It's going to be Shabazian, but it's not Shabazian anymore,
right? And maybe Sean Strick,
He's not an up and comer though, but he's coming, but he's not a youngster by any
means. That's you could say the same thing about Uriah Hall, right? Was kind of the guy everybody thought was right there, and I don't know, I'm not singing Uriah Hall's praises and being Hall is the next big guy, because I don't think he is. But who else is in that division that even we can start talking about?
Brendan Allen, maybe. Brendan Allen bounced back pretty good last fight, but he's still a ways away.
Yeah, like him, maybe. I would say this, too. I also, just now thinking about it, forgot about Andre Muniz, who just shattered Jacare's arm. I think he's 3-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, he's 3-0, yeah.
Mahmoud Muradov, I think, is like 2-0 or 3-0. But, like, again, those guys just don't feel like they're the guys, you know what I mean? Izzy feels like he's just going to be the middleweight champ until he decides to not be the middleweight champ anymore.
Yeah, looking at the performance rankings I run on MMA-Manifesto, which is it's all based on fighters' performance, who they beat, whether they finished them, and then I give weight to their most recent fights. The top after this weekend, Adesanya's head and shoulders above everyone, and then Brunson actually is next. Whitaker... then we'll have Hall, Marvin Vettori, Jared Cannonier. Yeah, so there's not much to be excited about in top of the division there, is there?
No, not
really.
And
then Strickland.
And I actually think Brunson's grown a lot, too, in that he's, like, fallen back on his wrestling, which I think is really important. It's hard for me to look at an Adesanya fight and think anything other than Adesanya's going to wax this guy.
Yep. And, yeah, not much else we really, I think, we have to say about the main event. It was, you know,
I have one more thing. Vettori, yes. And we just have to just mention that this is a real thing that happened. Vettori legitimately thought he won that fight. That is so wild.
That makes me so angry. I was like, is his hand up in the air when they're reading it out? I wasn't sure if I saw that correctly.
And Izzy was mocking him. He had, like, his fingers crossed and, like, looking over at him like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
he lost 50-45. It was not even close.
And when he heard 50-45, too, he looked confused, being like, oh, well, I definitely lost one round, so how is this possible? Because I clearly won the fight, but I definitely did lose one. No, dude, you lost all the rounds, and they... Like, one round was close. I thought about possibly giving the third to Vettori. But, like, dude, he got crushed in every round.
Yeah, and I think, like, his corner basically was trying to tell him that, and he wasn't, like, believing him. He was, like, asking.
It's Rafael Cordero. Rafael Cordero's not lying to anybody. That dude is, like, one of the most legit coaches. So, like, I'm sure he told him he was losing. And he just, like, was adamant that performance was title worthy.
Yeah, that makes me. Yeah, he's pretty unlikable. I think I'll have to come right out and say it. He's not really that likable of a dude.
I think we danced around it last time we talked about
we
him.
We did.
But like,
he's just very angry and not fun.
There's something about him, and I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's been nothing but nice to me ever, and he's always like super courteous. But like, you're right. Like that between the press, the interview with Michael Bisping was. I know I told you to go back and watch it. I'm not sure if you did.
No, I didn't.
Funny just for the purpose that, like, Bisping has no control. But, like, Vettori is so mad in it. And, like, it's not something that, like, I feel like you can rally around because he's just mad about nothing.
Yeah, I like to see some of that in the cage other than just, like, trying the same takedown against the fence the whole fight.
Yeah.
maybe get a little more angry, reckless. When you see that it's actually not working, you're not getting this guy down.
He thinks it worked though. He thinks it worked.
Oh, yeah, it's true. He won. I forgot he won. Yeah, there's a lot of people that lost but won. We have another one coming up. This man did not lose. This man won. Flyweight. We have a new champion, Brandon Moreno, the assassin. Comma baby is what I'm suggesting his nickname become, because the assassin baby is kind of weak, but if you say it with the comma there, the assassin baby is much better. It's like you're declaring that I am the assassin baby, and he was the assassin last night. Davison Figueroa weight cutting basically reared his ugly head again and struck. He was not himself throughout fight week, apparently, and he barely made weight, and he did not look good in there last night. But Moreno, it was both things. Moreno was looked fantastic, and Figueroa looked not himself and horrible.
I don't know that he looked terrible. I'm going to be honest with you. I think while yes, I thought he was going to do the same thing they did in the last fight. I did think about it for quite a bit last night about. Is it that he was much worse, the weight cut went badly, or is it that this is what they would both look like on a full training camp? Because I think we forget to talk about the fact that they fought last time on 3 weeks' notice, 3 weeks removed right. from their last fight, and they announced that they would fight the night they got done with their fights.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah.
And Brandon Moreno, not for anything, he fought Brandon Royval, which is not an easy fight, and Davison Figueiredo fought Joseph Benavidez, or no, Alex Perez, I take that back, Alex Perez, and both of them won, and they turned around and fought again 3 weeks later. I'm wondering if this is just like, this is what actual training camp fight between these two would look like. Because, yeah, you're right. It could have been weight cut, but he didn't look notably slower. He didn't even have time to get tired. Like, he was getting beat way before he was tired.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Moreno just looks fantastic, which was good to see, the first Mexican champion in UFC history. Like I said, I've always liked him. I didn't like it when he got cut. It was back when the UFC was hell-bent on getting rid of the flyweight division, and they were cutting everyone, and he got cut, but he had one fight in LFA, and then he got picked back up, and now look at him. He's king of the world, and he's driving in all the traffic to MMA-Manifesto today, so apparently he's coming out as the biggest star of last night, because he's far and away head and shoulders above everyone else traffic-wise. Like, Adesanya and Nate Diaz combined are basically where Moreno's is for traffic for me today, for what that's worth.
That's pretty impressive. Also, I would just say, so you mentioned that LFA fight, right? He fought for the LFA flyweight championship. I just want you to wrap your head around this, because this is so crazy to me. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's all been very quick.
Almost to the day, that was 2 years ago. So, like, 2 years ago, this dude was not in the UFC, had recently been cut after being beat by Sergio Pettis and Alexandre Pantoja, gets cut, fights for the LFA title, and 2 years later, the dude is not just the champ, but, like, a very impressive, undisputed champ right now.
Yep. Very, very true. Flyweight continues to be the best division, or one of the best divisions. We love it. And I heard Shockwave gentleman on your other podcast act like he's Mr. Flyweight now too. Is he?
He was Mr. He was Mr. Figueiredo. He said it like that. Figueiredo had gotten him excited about flyweight,
right,
and
yes,
I was like,
yes.
Oof. there's a gumby oof. Like he was not so into flyweights for all that time. He was into Figueiredo, and like, as soon as he was into Figueiredo, boom, he gets choked.
All right, so now Shockwave on Top Turtle is going to be calling for the flyweight division be scrapped once again.
You can't now. It's as hot as ever. And I will say this, too. You're right. He's a super exciting champion. He checks the box of being from a country that's never had a champion before. But I will also say this. There are lots of fun contenders for him right now.
That's what I was going to head into next. First of all, Figueiredo, is he going to stick a flyweight, you think?
I actually think he's going to leave. You know, like, both the weight cuts and the fact that, like, he won this title, right? Like,
right.
And he beat Benavidez twice, and he drew with Moreno. Like, where's the incentive to come back to it? Like, you know, having fights with Peter Yan and you know, Corey Sanhagen, and not to mention, like, Bantamweight also just has, like, guys who are, you know, kind of left the division already, or like, you know, like guys on the way out that he could, like, you know, get big paydays over, you know, like Dominic Cruz. He could go fight Dominic Cruz. He could fight Uriah Faber, who's probably still kicking around. He could fight Cody Garbrandt. And like, those are like, he could fight TJ Dillashaw probably at some point. Those are guys he could like build more of his name off of and stuff like that. So like, I think that makes more sense for him. So I think move him up a weight class, see what he does there, because, you know, hey, maybe you're right. Maybe the weight cut did kill him, but ultimately it won't hurt to go up. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yep. All right, so Moreno, Askarov, is he next up? He's next up in my rankings, and his name I hear out there. Is he, and he's 3-0 in the UFC. You think he's next in line here?
Well, he's 3-0 and 1 in the UFC.
Right, that's
one
right.
Draw,
yeah,
and that one draw is Brandon Moreno. So I think it makes a lot of sense, both narratively and where they are in their division. Askarov coming off of did he just beat Benavidez? Am I remembering that right? He like took it to Benavidez, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's get the intern on it.
Yeah, easy decision over Benavidez. He beat Pantoja. He beat Tim Elliott. So, like, his career in the UFC has pretty much just been a draw with Moreno and beating killer savages. So
savage killers.
Yeah, I think Askarov makes the most sense. I'm not ready. I don't want to see Figueiredo 3 yet.
No.
If he does decide to stay down, like, that was pretty one-sided. So even if Figueiredo stays down, like, let Figueiredo go fight, like, I don't know, Brandon Royval, let him go fight, you know, somebody like that and see what happens. But, I go Askarov versus Brandon Moreno, and I'd be excited to watch it. I bet you'd be a killer fight.
The only issue is Askarov was 127 pounds at his last fight. He did not make weight. So that's 2 pounds over for a title fight. So that would be a bit of an issue. But yeah, there's no one else really. I'm looking at the rankings, there's really no one else. Pantoja is on, won his last fight. Like, really, all the top guys have not won their last fight. David Dvorak's won 3 straight, but he's well below Askarov, yeah.
I'd kind of like to see, and I know we're probably a fight away from it, but and I've mentioned the name 7 different times already. I'd like to see Brandon Moreno fight Brandon Royval again. I know he's coming off of a win over him, and, like, the immediate rematch doesn't make sense, but he's also coming off of a win where he got a stoppage with 1 second left in the round because Brandon Royval's shoulder happened to fall out of joint as he fell to the ground. And not that you want to take that win away from Brandon Moreno, because, like, you know, he was looking good in that. He definitely won the first round. But, like, Royval is also a guy who, like, who sticks around in fights and gets, like, finishes later. You know, like, he submitted Tim Elliott in the second. He submitted Kai Kara France in the second. And he was about to go to the second with Brandon Moreno when his shoulder came out. I'd like to see that fight again, and we might be a fight away from there. But, like, give Askarov. And then while we wait for that, get Moreno or get Royval another win to get him in there.
And if you like things falling out of joint, you just wait. We got some fun for you, coming up in a couple fights. So before we move on, let's tell you about Prop Swap. While I got it in front of me here, we're brought to you by Prop Swap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on NBA championship and Stanley Cup futures when you buy directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. PropSwap is making it easy to profit these playoffs by trading in and out teams as the postseason progresses. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time. Recently, a PropSwap customer purchased the Montreal Canadiens Stanley Cup future for $45 when the team was down 3-1 against Maple Leafs, and then a few days later, he flipped it for $600. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Just think like the stock market, but for sports betting. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. All right, I alluded to earlier, some people can't help but win even when they lose, and that would be Mr. Nate Diaz. It's very predictable that he lost the fight, and it's also very predictable that he is considered the winner by the Nate the Diaz Nation, Diaz Army, and in his own eyes. So, but he kind of has. Usually, it's just him claiming he got robbed, either by like early stoppage or the judges or something like that. But his new beef is he got robbed by the clock, because if this was a 6-round fight, he would have won it, and if this was a real fight in the streets, he would have won it. But in actuality, Leon Edwards won 49-46 in a fight that shouldn't even have been a 5-round fight. It should have been a 3-round fight, but they made it 5 rounds because that would benefit Diaz, and boy, did it benefit him, because he had Edwards on skates in the final frame of this fight, almost had him finished, but he didn't finish him. Edwards snake bitten once again. He basically dominated this fight as we predicted, and had Diaz bleeding from numerous new holes in his body, which Edwards created for him. And despite all this, beating the biggest name ever, quieting the crowd, all this stuff, he's coming out of this looking like the loser because he almost got knocked out in the last frame of the fight.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, he put a great performance together, did he not? Like,
yep.
I didn't watch that and think, like, man, Leon Edwards sucks. But it's going to be a really hard sell to say he deserves the title shot next. Because, like, if you watch Nate Diaz jack somebody up like that in the fifth round, like, what the hell is Kamaru Usman going to do to you? And yeah. I know it's not, like, great to, like, talk about, like, oh, well, you got no chance against the champion, so why book it, right? Like, that's always the feeling we have, right? Like, the champ is always the champ, and they're the champ for a reason, and it makes you feel like the other people don't stand a chance, right? Like, we'd never book Amanda Nunes if we only booked her with people we thought had a chance, right? Like, so,
yeah.
I say he probably deserves it because he put a great performance together, but, man, that fifth round could really cook his chances, could it not?
Yeah, this is typical Leon Edwards too, isn't it? He's always getting upstaged, whether it's Masvidal beating him up backstage, or it's sitting, you know, trying to sit on the sidelines and get himself a better position. That didn't work either. Or poking someone in, he gets a main event fight and ends up poking someone's eyeball out. It's always something. It seems to be going on with this guy. It seems like Colby Chaos Covington is going to get the next fight against Usman, and then if Stephen Thompson puts a good performance against Gilbert Burns in a couple weeks at the next pay-per-view, I could see him being next in line ahead of Edwards also.
Yeah, I actually think, to be completely honest with you, I think the reason the UFC hasn't announced who is fighting next was because, you know, they keep hinting that it's Colby. But they keep not signing Colby because they don't really want to give it to Colby because, A, he's no longer got his shtick. He doesn't sell well. He's not particularly fun to watch, with the exception of the other time he fought Kamaru Usman. That was pretty much their only entertaining fight. So I think deep down they were like, well, if Leon Edwards goes out there and crushes Nate Diaz violently, we give it to Leon. And if he doesn't...
Which he did, basically.
Well, but not violently. Not violently. If he goes out and beats him, that's nice. But if he goes out and beats him violently, we give him a title shot. And he didn't do that. And then I think their backup plan to that was, well, if Wonder Boy goes out there and kicks Gilbert Burns' head into the second row of the stands, we'll give it to Wonder Boy. And if both of those plans fail, Colby's still here and we'll give him really shit pay and let him fight Usman again.
Yeah. No, it sounds good. No, there's no there's no reason for them to announce anything. If I was in their situation, I wouldn't announce anything either. You know, you want to keep all your balls in play here. It's not like Usman needs a fight immediately, so they can kind of let these things play out. So, and as for Diaz, like I said, he win or lose, it doesn't make a difference for him. He's still going to stay as popular as he's ever been. And him, you know, he looked horrendous last night. He's just all posturing now. All sizzle, no steak, basically. But then he somehow got Edwards on skates, which is other than him just winning, that's basically the best outcome that could have occurred for him, because now he can claim that he won and people are going to want to watch him fight even more. So give him Masvidal, give him Connor. I don't care. But, you know, as long as he's not in the title picture, they can keep throwing him out there, because he, despite getting destroyed, he had few seconds of brilliance there that that's all that people need.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned the Connor fight. I think this – along with a Dustin Poirier win in July, really clearly sets up the trilogy, right? Like, he did everything he needed to entice people to feel like that trilogy is viable.
Yep. See, he basically saved his career as a viable viable fighter by landing a couple shots in the fifth round, because the rest of the fight was not good or compelling or competitive whatsoever for him on his pen. So, same with the next fight, basically. Welterweights, Bilal, remember the name Muhammad, got, you probably would say this is the biggest win of his career over Damian Maia. Maia was trying for single legs the whole fight. He got him down once. That was it. And Muhammad looked kind of frightened when he did get him down. I don't know if that's just his normal facial expression, but he didn't look very very happy about that situation. But I don't know. There's not really much to say about this fight. Sounds like this is it for Maia. Unfortunately, that was the last fight in his contract, and Dana White said that's probably the end of him in the UFC.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like, I mean, he's older now. All of his losses have come previously to. You know, it's part of the reason why I attempted to bet him in this one is that, like, all of his losses have come to big guys who could stuff his wrestling. You know, Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman, Tyrone Woodley. This is the first time he kind of lost to a guy who you don't think of as being, like, a phenomenal wrestler. It's kind of, the writing's kind of on the wall. If he's not getting the Bilal Muhammads of the division down in grappling him, he ain't beating anybody on the feet. So if he's not getting those guys down, like, the writing's on the wall. He's barely a top 15 guy anymore, and it's sad to say, but, like, yeah, it's time.
Yeah, fantastic career. One of my favorites, class guy, and, yeah, thanks for the memories, basically. you're out the door now, but, you know, nothing to hang sad about. Plus, he's 43, so he's had a super long career. Then the fun opener, light heavyweights, Paul Craig. I picked Jamahal Hill to knock him out. That didn't happen. The other option would have been Paul Craig by submission, and that did happen. Paul Craig was destroying Jamahal Hill's arm even before he had the submission armbar locked in. Then he locked it in, dislocated Jamahal Hill's arm. The ref seemed to not care or notice that his arm was flopping around like his name's Gumby, and let the fight continue. The whole thing lasted less than 2 minutes, but it seemed a lot longer than that when the guy with the clearly everyone thought it was broken, but it was just a dislocated. That doesn't sound fun either. Dislocated arm was flopping around and he was getting destroyed while he was trapped in a triangle, basically. But Paul Craig's a killer, man. He's a savage.
Yeah. And what were the odds on Paul Craig? Just so we
varied. Dan got super good odds on that. He had like what minus, which is pretty crazy actually.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. It seems crazy in retrospect, but it seemed crazy at the time for me too.
Because yeah, I agreed it was. Yeah.
Yeah, like those odds are nuts. And in addition to that, like I mean, Paul Craig did what Paul Craig seems to be doing lately, and that's force people to grapple with him, and it's just a terrible idea. I will say this: I did think his offensive wrestling was going to be better than it was, and when it failed, I'm glad he wound up pulling guard basically and working right from there. But like. It is a little alarming for wherever he is going in the future that's how he chose to get to the ground, because that won't work against, like, the top guys in the division for him.
Right. Well, speaking of, let's look at my rankings now, because Craig he's got, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 straight wins, 5 of 6, so that's vaulting him up the rankings. We got Blachowicz. We got the next Glover Teixeira is next in line, and he's actually getting the title shot. And then we got Anthony Smith. Then we have Alexander Rakic, and then we've got Paul Craig, 1 point ahead of Johnny Walker. So he basically is virtually tied with Johnny Walker. So who do you see him fighting next, or who would you like to see him fight next?
That was actually the name I was going to say. I was going to say Johnny Walker. Like to me, it makes all the sense of the world. Both guys, kind of in a similar position in the division where they've lost to some guys they shouldn't. They've beaten some guys they shouldn't, and both of them are opportunists. You know, like they could look so bad at some times and still be able to beat you. I mean, we saw that with Paul Craig beating Magomed Ankalaev, right? Like he was getting out grappled for 14 minutes and 59 seconds before he slapped on a triangle choke. I mean, we've seen that with Johnny Walker. Seemingly every single time he wins a fight, he's getting beat up before he lands the knockout blow. So I actually think that they're perfect to pair one against the other.
There you go. And for Jamahal Hill, we'll just say this is too much too soon for him. Probably just the quote-unquote prospect loss, and hopefully he's not seriously injured and he can get back in there fairly soon.
Yeah, I don't know that it was too much either. I think it was just bad style matchup, right? Like, I think beat somebody that level, right? Like, he could beat...
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to watch Jamahal Hill beat Ryan Spann. I wouldn't be surprised to watch Jamahal Hill beat the aforementioned Johnny Walker. I could see Jamal Hill beating up Misha Cirkunov if he still belongs to the UFC. Like, all of those guys he could beat, and they're all right around Paul Craig's level. It's just that the stylistic matchup was really bad for him in this one.
Yeah, very true. So the two submissions on the main pay-per-view portion got the performance of the night bonuses. So Moreno and Craig got an extra 50.
And that's malarkey. Let me complain about that.
Malarkey.
Let me complain
Jamie
about that.
Malarkey?
That's Jamie Malarkey.
We should start saying that. That's good.
But no, we can say that's Jamie Malarkey. Can we just talk for a second again about how we gave?
Let's jump ahead.
Gave two submission bonuses, which, by the way, I love submissions.
Yep.
Rear naked choke is a great submission. How the hell does Brandon Moreno win performance of the night when we have a dude who knocked a guy out in 7 seconds with a gnarly 1-2?
Yeah, Terrence McKinney, who was we got him at plus 220, I think, when we recorded. We both jumped in his bandwagon. A week's notice from his last fight, which was outside of the UFC, this was his debut, destroyed Matt Frivola, and then destroyed his own knee jumping off the cage. He claims he's okay, but we've seen, like, the aforementioned Johnny Walker destroy his knee doing silly things after he won. So yeah,
and his shoulder once.
Yes, yeah, he could have. And plus, he probably was making 10 and 10, and plus 4,000 for the outfitting. So he probably made 24 grand. So he could have used another 50 grand. I'm sure.
That's always my thing with the bonuses too, right? Like,
yeah.
If all things are considered or tied, why not give it to a Terrence McKinney instead of a Brandon Moreno? Not that Brandon Moreno wouldn't love the extra 50K, but, like, god damn, like, that's life-changing money to Terrence McKinney right now, and his finish was better.
Yeah, plus, this is probably something for another day, but UFC doesn't get it. Like, the more they pay their athletes, the better performances you're going to get from them because they can afford to either quit their full-time or part-time hustles, or they can pay for better coaching, better training, better food, all this type of stuff. So the more money they put out, the better stuff they're going to get. So, like, I'm sure a Terrence McKinney is going to give you even better performance, if possible, if that's even possible, in his next time in the cage if he's got extra $50,000 in the bank.
Yeah, I would think so. By the way, very impressive. He is now 4-0 in 2021.
Yes.
And he spent less than 2 minutes in a cage.
No, that's the thing. Hopefully he's not injured because he could get right back in there again.
He could play eight times this year.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Speaking of bonuses, the main event of the prelims got the fight of the night bonus, which was, I think this one was pretty much a no-brainer. Brad Riddell, Drew Dober, they had a slobber knocker, which Riddell won, despite looking worse for wear. So we nailed another underdog with that pick. That was a quality scrap, and Riddell is, 4-0 now in the UFC. So onward and upward for him. It was a good night for City Kickboxing.
Yeah, it was a great night for him. And I thought he looked exceptional in this fight, with the exception of the first round. He did look pretty bad and on skates in the first round, but I was also really impressed that he chose to wrestle, because I think when we broke this fight down, we said Dober's got to mix in his wrestling a little bit, and it was actually Riddell who did that.
Yep. We got Anders versus Stuart Kreck, but that was it was a dot of a fight. It was like one of those you light the firework and number one off. So, that wasn't a fun one. I don't think we really have much to say about that.
I've got nothing to say about that other than I expected finish early and didn't get it.
I was thinking, can we cut both those guys from the UFC, or do we have to keep them in there? But yeah, it seemed like a waste of a fight there. Dan's secret girlfriend, Laura Murphy, got the biggest win of her career. Controversial split decision over Joanne Calderwood, but I'm glad she won, because I picked her too. And you think she's probably is the next person to be sacrificed to Valentina Shevchenko, and then to be destroyed and to head back to the back of the line again.
Yeah, so I got to ask you. So it was a split decision, and we're saying controversial. Did you think it was controversial?
I thought it was close. Maybe not controversial. It was maybe contested is a better word. I don't think anyone got robbed or anything like that.
No. Yeah, I thought really if there was any other decision other than the one we saw, I actually wouldn't have been bummed with a draw. Because I thought Lauren Murphy won that second round 10-8 pretty clearly. She beat the hell out of her. And none of the judges saw it that way. I also gave her the first, but like I could see first and third for Calderwood, but I definitely gave her 10-8 in the second.
Yep. She looked good in all aspects. Like she's very, very well-rounded at this point in her career. So looking at women's flyweight, my rankings, Shevchenko head and shoulders above all. Jessica Andrade is next, but she just fought for the belt. Caitlin Chookagian is next, and she's already fought for it and lost. Macy Barber is next, but that's basically based on her first three fights in the UFC. She's dropped two straight. And then we have Lauren Murphy. So, I think that's five straight wins for her. So I think they wouldn't commit on her being next, but I don't see any other fight at this point that makes sense timing wise and the strength of any other fighter's resume.
No, I think it's got to be her. I think she's pretty damn close already, and this has got to do it.
Yep. Mavsar Evloev won, as we predicted, over Hakeem Dawodu. We just faded the Canadians' work last night. We faded Dawodu. We faded Alexis Davis, and they both lost. So Mavsar Evloev and Pani Khayenzad won us some money, which we appreciate. But they were both decisions, of course, because every fight was basically a decision last night.
Yeah, and I think for this one, too, we could break down these two fights at the same time. We said the bigger, stronger fighters were Evloev and Khayenzad, and that they would dictate where the fight went. They both did, and it was good enough for the decision.
There you go. That is a Twitter-length breakdown right there for you. 140 characters or less. McKinney knocked out Frivola, which was very nice, like we said. Stephen Ocho-Peterson, who we picked, came in quite overweight. 148.5 for 146 limit fight over Chase Hooper. I don't like watching Chase Hooper get beat up. He still looks. I know he's 21 and everything, and he knows what he's doing in there. But it's not a good look. Him getting destroyed by someone who seems way bigger and stronger and older and meaner than he is.
Yeah, I think he looked good though. For everybody out there on Twitter and wherever claiming that like it's time for him to go away and he needs to go back to the regional scene, like the dude is 2-2 in the UFC, right? And he also threatened a lot of submissions on Stephen Peterson, and there were some times where I thought he was gonna win that fight. So I mean, I think we're maybe a little bit premature in saying that he needs to go to the regional scene. I might put him against somebody a little easier in who has a little bit worse grappling, but like, I mean, like he belongs in the UFC and just give him time to grow.
Yeah, he was in the fight basically the whole time. He never was vastly outmatched or anything like that by any means. It's just the optics of it. he's a skinny, young looking dude with big curly hair. But he didn't really come out of it worse for wear or beat up too badly or anything like that. So, first Ziam wrecked our Luigi Vendramini pick. He won a majority decision. And then Carlos Felipe won the big boy battle, split decision over Jake Collier. But I'm not going to argue that split decision. I think Felipe won that fight, so I'm not going to. I'm not going to claim.
I actually disagree with you on that one.
Oh, good.
I disagree with you on that one. I think Collier. I think pretty much the narrative of the announcers continuously being like, oh, I don't know, Felipe's jacking him up. He's moving forward. He did move forward the whole fight. He didn't land more. Like Jake Collier landed more in literally every exchange. Anytime Felipe moved forward, he'd throw one punch and get hit with three. Like, even if you look at the totals, which I don't love doing, but, like, if you look at the totals, Collier landed more all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not like there was some grappling in the event either. Like, it was all striking.
Yep. And strange, Carlos Felipe, he's a heavyweight. He's, like, right at the tippy top of the heavyweights, at the very, very end of the heavyweight scale. Who 8-0 heading into the UFC, 6 of them via knockouts. He's had nothing but decisions in the UFC. He lost a decision, and then he's won three straight decisions. This is very strange for a huge heavyweight who coming in was known as a knockout guy. He gets nothing but decisions. This is very, very strange. Someone could have made a lot of money off of their betting decision on him early on in his UFC career.
Well, I can tell you why that happened. Just take a quick peek sometime if you get a chance at the records of the dudes he fought in Brazil.
Yeah.
0-2, 1-1, 0-2, 0-0, 0-0, 5-0, and 2-0, which is pretty decent, and then 0-2. Like,
and these are not big – the bigger Brazilian promotions either.
No, he's not even a jungle fight or anything like that. Yeah.
No.
And some of them are old, too. Like, the last guy he beat was, like, 37 and was on a two-fight losing streak or something. So, like, yeah, like, he's knocking people out who are easy to knock out, and now he's up against guys who aren't.
Yep. So, yeah, that's probably it. But still, you would think he would get knocked out, or he would knock someone out at some point in four fights, because it's heavyweights. That's what happens.
Yeah. Usually the heavyweights are swinging and banging, and he doesn't really, though. That's the other thing, though, is like he moves forward and he's like cool with like a pitter pattery type fight.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say about the Vedramini fight. I skipped right over because I was mad that we lost. It made it even worse that the announcers were all over First IM's jock the whole fight, singing his praises. That made me even angrier as we were losing that bet.
Yeah, and that's another one that I thought was pretty darn close to being a draw.
One judge agreed with you, yeah.
Yeah, because Vedramini beat the hell out of him in that round. And like, yeah, maybe like that wouldn't have made me feel much better, but like Vedramini, I feel like he's ultimately, at the end of the day, a better fighter than Ferris Zaim is. Whether or not he gets the win this time doesn't really matter to me. I'm way higher on Vedramini's career than I am on Zaim's.
Yeah, well, you're not. Joe Rogan and Paul Felder definitely are in the other camp because they were crazy.
Yeah, they were very excited about his performance for some reason.
They sure were. You know what I'm excited about, other than our awesome performances? I'm excited about the SGPN app. Yes, we have our own app now, if you guys and gals haven't heard. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. Plus, the app is the exclusive way to enter all the SGPN contests, including our SGPN $1,000 NBA Finals free roll. Just download the app and hit the contest tab for your chance to take home $1,000. And I think it's like Monday, as in tomorrow, or maybe the day you're listening to this, is the deadline for that contest. So get the app downloaded, get in the contest. And don't forget to toss an app review and download the SGPN app today. It's a very good app. You will get notifications every time a podcast drops, including your own. So, all right. It was a very let's see what Dan's been doing over the past few days. It was a very busy day for very busy weekend rather for fights. Did you watch PFL, Dan, on Thursday night?
I did watch a little bit of PFL. I wasn't able to catch all of it, but I did want to tune in and watch Clarissa Shields' fight because you know that was kind of the big name fight coming on there.
Right.
So I watched her fight. I watched a couple of various other ones in there. I tuned into the main event of Bellator, as well as I tuned in to watch Nick Newell fight too, because he's a local guy. He's actually reffed a couple of my jiu-jitsu matches. And he's a super nice dude too. So I tuned in to watch him ultimately get beat, which is kind of a sad one. But that's pretty much the majority of what I watched. I didn't get all of those cards in this week in my typical fashion, but I did get both of them in small doses.
So how did Shields look? I heard she, for those who don't know, she was what, 2-time Olympic gold medalist boxer and a multiple different championships in women's boxing. I heard she basically was on her back forced to wrestle most of the time, which maybe it was her plan to test her wrestling out, and then she ended up getting a ground and pound win in the final frame. How did that fight go, or how did she look in your eyes?
I come out thinking she looked great because she fought a grappler and dealt with that adversity. She wasn't subbed by Brittany Alkins, who's a pretty damn good grappler. She's on those fight to win shows all the time. I'm pretty sure I've seen her on Who's Number One. So like she like fights on big name grappling cards. So For Shields to even survive if it did go to the ground is already a feather in her cap. There were times where I looked and saw Clarissa Shields dropping her hips really well to kind of sprawl out on it or to prevent a sweep or stuff like that. Even when, like, right before she got the finish, Elgin looked like she was looking for a sweep, and Shields dropped her hips and flattened her out and dropped some bombs. So, like, you know, I think it very much looked like an 0-0 fighter in there against somebody who has some grappling chops but is the right stepping stone for the 0-0 fighter to build on. So I think I have positive feelings about Clarissa Shields. Anybody claiming that she should get in there and fight Kayla Harrison anytime soon is crazy. I think she's got a lot of work to do before that, but she's certainly doing well and on the right path, I would say.
Right. And did you see the Bellator main event? Did you see Douglas Lima lose his belt?
Yeah, Amosov is a absolute beast. And you know, the funny thing is he's another one of those ones who usually I lean with the guy who I think can wrestle better. And in this one, I was just like, he can wrestle better, but I don't know if he can get Lima down enough to win. Can he get Lima down enough? Man, he steamrolled him pretty much at will. So, yeah, sort of surprising, not terribly exciting, but Amosov is a guy to beat now, I guess.
And that's, what, two straight losses for Lima, right?
Because he was middleweight.
He
did what Adesanya luckily avoided.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Did you watch Invicta? They had their Atomweight tournament. Did you watch that also?
I caught highlights of that.
Is that all? Really?
I will say that I like the idea of a tournament, but I don't like the one round format of it.
Yeah.
Just because, like, that means you're going to get a winner in that one round, no matter what. There's never going to be a bonus round. So, like, Paulina Granados lost 10-9, 10-9, 9-10. And, like, if it's a close round, like, I want to see more than that. So, it upsets me. The right fighter won the tournament. So, like, ultimately I'm fine with that, even though I like what's her name? Lindsay Van Zandt was in the main event. Even though I like Lindsay Van Zandt, I've actually interviewed her a couple of times too. She's really super nice. And I would have liked to seen her win it. Like, ultimately the right fighter won it, and she's getting the rematch she deserved. That's Jessica Del Boni, by the way. I don't know if I've even said her name. Jessica Del Boni, who should have been the rightful number one contender. She actually should be the champ. I think she beat Ashley Zapatella in their last fight, which went to a split decision. So good on her for getting that title shot again. And I guess the long answer is I watched less MMA this weekend than usual.
I don't know. We just named three additional events.
Watched them in pieces. Usually I'd watch all of them in total.
Sure. Did you watch any other MMA, Dan? Regional, any strange place, strange Russian, regional, Siberian MMA amateur events?
I think I was off MMA other than that.
My God, what were you doing for crying out loud? Spending time with your family?
And I watched some baseball, and yeah, it's crazy.
Boy, crazy. All right. So we're going to have another fight card to break down for you. Episode 47, we've got UFC and ESPN, the Korean Zombie versus Ige is coming up this coming Saturday from the UFC Apex. They're back in the Apex in the smaller gym. So the main event, you got Chan Sung Jun, the Korean, a.k.a. the Korean Zombie. I think I was thinking today he could also be called the Korean Chainsaw. I think that also works for him because he's basically always on and always dangerous.
Yeah, and I love his fighting style. I'm excited to see what that looks like against Ige, too, who also is a guy who brings it.
Yep. Looks like the co-main events, Alexei Oleinik and Sergey Spivak, which is a big boy battle, which that should be a fun one. This isn't the most thrilling of fight cards, at least on paper. Let's see if there's anything that actually – is there any fight that really – jump. Oh, I know one Dan likes. Verna Jandarova, Kanaka Murata. You like that one?
That was literally the one I was going to say. It's the one I'm the most excited for. Both because I do like Verna Jandarova, but I really like Kanaka Murata. I think she's like a sneaky, dangerous fighter in that division. I will also say, as long as we're talking about ones I'm excited for, I am quite excited for Chaos Williams and Matthew Semelisberger. Because that is, you know, Chaos Williams had that loss semi-recently that he's trying to rebound from. But Semelisberger, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, is undefeated in the UFC. He's like 2-0, and he's looked damn good in both of them. So, yeah, I'm excited for that one, along with...
Chunky guys. Don't forget Chunky guys.
I mean, they're...
Josh Parisian Martinez, guys.
Roque Martinez and Josh Parisian is like the biggest of the biggest.
Yep. All right, your boat's sinking. You can only save one person. Kanako Murado, Lauren Murphy. Who do you save, Dan?
Lauren Murphy. She deserves it.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
She gets the life raft on this one.
I've also
never interviewed Kanako Murado. She may be a lovely individual, but Lauren Murphy is like the most polite, kind, well-read, well-spoken fighter I've ever interviewed. So,
but don't you find, like, I've interviewed like basically athletes from pretty much every major sport, but fighters pretty much are the easiest ones to interview, probably.
They're the most down-to-earth. I've never interviewed anybody but fighters, but I will tell you, there's definitely tiers to it where there are guys who are super easy to talk to and then guys who aren't so easy to talk to. But, like, the ones who are easy to talk to are really easy to talk to.
Yeah. I think it's the fact, you know, knowing that you basically you're the toughest person no matter where you go and you can protect yourself no matter what. I think that probably gives you I guess you would know, Dan, because you're a tough guy.
I was about to turn that around on you. I was going to say, like, oh, is that how you feel?
No, never. So I think they probably, you know, it puts you at ease and you don't have to posture and pretend you're a tough guy. Or a fugazi, like the athletes in other sports that I've interviewed, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it.
that could be it. All right, enough philosophizing. Let's send you away with these thoughts. Download the SGPN app. I'm not just saying it because the bosses want me to say it, but they do. But it's a real, real good app. I really enjoy it. So very nicely designed and easy to use. And who doesn't want to win $1,000? So try to win the contest too. Subscribe to our channel, MMA Gambling Podcast, we will be called. And if you want to put a nice review like someone has already, please do so. If you want to put a mean review, please do not. So if you're my 10-year-old son listening, do not put a review in because I know what it's going to say. You say it to my face as it is. So read sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Obviously, we have great stuff on there. Whether you're a degenerate, if you're a degenerate, you should be willing to bet on anything. So we had French Open coverage. We have, there's some horse racing in Britain going down this week that we've got a betting article up on. Obviously NBA playoffs, baseball's in full swing. I think there's always some kind of football going on that you can bet. a fantasy football. We have a new fantasy football podcast. You Americans, there's always some kind of football, right? Of some sort.
Yeah, well, and especially because this year they changed some of college football to a spring sport. So
there's always
extra fantasy or always extra football.
And if you're into what the rest of the world calls football, yeah, I think the Euros are on now. So we have obviously coverage of that. So check out that site. If you're strictly into MMA, you can go to MMA-manifesto.com. And we have goodness on there. We have pick 'em contests for every event. I don't think I'm going to run one for this weekend's Korean Zombie Ige one because there's an extra event this month and I only have the budget for three events, so I think I'm going to skip this one and do the final fight card of the month instead. But regardless, we got good stuff in there. Fighter pay stuff seems to be the most popular far and away. If you want to know how much people make, which everyone seems to care about, all that is on there. Dan writes good analysis on up-and-coming fighters, basically, usually on upcoming cards, and he writes some gambling picks and stuff like that too, so check that out. And you can listen to his podcast, The Prelim Primer, which breaks down all the prelim fights of the card, and the Top Turtle MMA podcast, the aforementioned one with Shockwave Dave, who's on and off the flyweight bandwagon, so I'm assuming he's going to be off the bandwagon this weekend. This week we'll have to wait and find out. And Dan has gambling advice on there also, and he has fighter interviews. And this week the interviews are with
One of Jeff's favorite nicknames in all of MMA. Jeff, do you want to take a guess?
One of my favorite. So many.
No, this one stands out, though.
Is it the person you just interviewed before you talked to me?
Nope, but that's one.
Like I have a nickname?
Alexa Kamer will be on the show, but that's not the other one. Oh, it's going to be Alexa Kamer and...
You're going to have to give me a hint here. Maybe I'll get it if you can hear.
I think we named an episode after his nickname.
Oh, really? That's... Corey Anderson?
No. Did we
Beast
call
in 25? Beast in 25-8.
Did we call an episode Beast in 25-8?
No, but I'm sure we will at some point. Hopefully.
No, Juicy J, my man.
Oh yes, Juicy J.
I talked to Julian Juicy J Arosa.
Julian Juicy J Arosa. Yes, that's right. Yeah,
we had the Juicy episode. Yeah.
We did, and we got creeped. Yeah, we both got creeped out when he said his nickname that episode. Yes, I remember. Longtime listeners are screaming at their phones saying Juicy J. Yes, so that's good. Make sure you listen to Top Turtle. And I think it's everything the powers that be want me to say. And it's Dan's trying to put us to bed. So let's see what Dan has in store for us here. As I say goodbye to you. Go right ahead, Dan.
Adios, degenerinos.